And hold on, what is this before we get to Jerry? I've just been handed this. What is this? Dear Don and Mike, hello, how are you? I am deaf. How do I listen to your show? My friends write things down that you say.
Wow.
You kick ass.
Hey, that's nice.
Please read the following. Your friend, Chris. Okay, Chris. Dan Snyder is screwing deaf people.
Really?
Yep. And
how's he screwing deaf people?
Well, I have not heard about this. Let me see what it say. This guy, Chris, that wrote us, among other people, are suing the Redskins to get them to offer closed captioning during games at the stadium.
Well, it'll take up ad space.
Let me see.
Yeah, right.
Hold on a second.
You mean like on the Jumbotron?
Yeah, providing captioning is not rocket science. It's simple. It's the right thing to do. They contend the team is violating the American with Disabilities Act by failing to provide captioning for the deaf and hearing impaired. It asked the court to order the Redskins to provide and play captioning on scoreboards and video monitors for all announcements, plays, and penalties.
Nobody likes to bash little Danny as much as me, but is there precedent for that? Do they do that at other stadiums?
It says NFL teams are not required by law to do so.
Right.
Carl Swanson from the Redskins, he's one of Snyder's henchmen.
Yeah, says, he's hungry.
Says the team considered a proposal to purchase the equipment, but that proposal was rejected.
Huh.
Was rejected.
Yeah, I bet he, you know, now I am going to pound on him. I bet little Danny rejected it.
He could sponsor it.
Swanson said the Redskins are considering providing deaf fans with 7-inch TVs that would pick up the captioning in the stadium.
Yeah, okay. That sounds like BS to me.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah, we're going to put them in the select seats that you buy. And the
reception. Welcome to the special cripple section.
I don't want to sit in the deaf seats.
The ring of cripples.
There you go.
Bring them over. The Maddie section. That's a nice
sit here.
Segue right into the Jerry thing.
Yes.
And I think it's pretty funny that we've got a deaf guy who listens to the show. And I use that word loosely. He can't listen to the show. But he looks at the pictures online.
It's just like when Jose Feliciano was interviewed years ago and Mike Douglas said to him, do you watch much television? And then he went, oh, and Jose Feliciano said, yeah, I really do. This is the same thing. People are sitting around listening to our show, jot down things that you or I say, and then give them to the guy.
So
kind of a challenge, I would imagine. Yeah.
Thank you. And good luck in your lot, dude.
You know, I don't know what it is, Don, but there's something about you doing that now that it just stings to me a little bit more than before.
It's because you're losing your hearing, Mike. Although you did hear someone whistling today.
You didn't hear that?
I heard it. I was surprised you heard it before.
You heard
the show.
It. It was super loud, right? Yeah. It was super, super loud.
That made my ears bleed.
I want to, I'm very sensitive about that. And especially if I'm in a restaurant and in a quiet, right, you know, where there's like that little din of talking, that's where I have trouble. Yeah. You know, right now, these big headphones, no problem.
And female voices, probably.
What?
All right, everybody, here we go. Yeah. Finally, we're going to start listening to the Jerry Lewis telethon tapes. Now,
I can hear them.
You must know, if you are a new listener to the show, that there are more than one or two antiquated things that we do that nobody else in radio does anymore, like the Elvis Death Day, the Elvis Birthday. We're fascinated with guys like Wayne Newton, Dick Van Patten, all of the old farts who we in some way have been associated with.
We still don't know whether Al Molinaro is dead or alive.
We stalk a lot of these people, and we have been fixated on Jerry Lewis for years. And it used to be the greatest goof to come in and listen to the telethon tapes the day after the telethon, back in the days when Jerry Lewis would actually be on TV for like 18 hours straight, because by the time he hit like hour number 10,
he was crispy.
He would crack.
He'd fall apart, and it would be fantastic.
Right.
Well, now in his deteriorating health,
what's he on for? A half an hour now?
Yeah, something like that.
Four
hours on
at each end, I guess.
Yeah, at each
four
end.
At the four beginning.
Hours. That's still pretty good for an old guy.
Four at the beginning, four at the end. Rob tapes this thing every year, and we always have highlights. A highlight that I remember from recent years, even when Jerry has not been all the time, on all the time, but still brings good stuff, was when he was talking about, he was just rambling and talking about how He wished that everybody could have muscular dystrophy.
Yes. Right. That was years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
In the words
And then
of,
he had to stop because the audience kind of went,
yeah.
And
yeah.
It was like, so that you would know the horror that these kids are
I
going
wish
through.
You could have a dystrophic child. I remember when he said that. In the words of Dennis Miller.
Who, that's another one, Mike, right.
Who used to be funny. Dennis Miller once said he doesn't laugh at Jerry Lewis when Jerry Lewis is trying to be funny. He laughs at Jerry Lewis when Jerry's trying to be serious.
Right.
And we fall into that same category. Jerry, when Jerry's being serious, when it's the, and the telethon is his absolute vehicle for being, you know, the world according to Jerry. Right. That is when he's the absolute funniest.
Mike, before that, let me see. Joe's got a guy on the phone, says his name is Mike. He wrote the proposal for the deaf people at Redskins Stadium.
All right, yeah,
are you a lawyer?
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hi there.
I'm with Kenner Industries, and we supply hearing-impaired people equipment to help them. You know, I'm kind of nervous. Sorry.
Don't be nervous.
Don't be.
Okay. But I helped write the proposal, and it fell on deaf ears.
Oh, God. Hey. Was that just a joke?
You know what? Hey, Joe. You know what? We don't have to use the book anymore. Hey, Joe. Joe.
Yes?
No. Give me something audible. Don't just hold your thumb up in the air. Did you use the software on him?
I can.
Oh, come on. Hold on. I might be a defense attorney for this guy just a little bit.
Oh, no.
Listen, don't do it, Mike.
You and I run a tough prison here.
I know we do.
The rules is rules.
Oh,
you don't
God.
Call with stupid jokes. And if you do, you give your phone number out on the air. And if you don't, we got the software that means the guy can't call back.
Come
Joe,
on.
Do it.
Very well.
Do it. Thank you, Joe. Bye-bye.
Merciless.
Even with jokes that mock the afflicted.
Yes, Rob. As much as I love those jokes.
I know, those
sorry.
Jokes.
Rules is rules and parts is parts.
That's right up there with Spike TV, Rob.
And what's great about our new software and our new studios really is that, as I've mentioned in the case of Tom Gavin, we can monitor how many times someone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time you call, it immediately your count goes up. And we can block you out. If you piss us off, we don't have to have a book. We'll just block you out.
Uh-huh. You're blocked.
And we've had some people email us and say, well, I'll just get another phone and call you from that phone. Well, great. If it's going to make you go to the time and trouble
right.
to get another phone to call the
We're
show.
Yeah, right. Call us one more time. You want to be troublesome again? Then meet Dan Blocker.
Go ahead. And I know at least some people have been emailing us wondering about Pop-Tard and... I saw him up on the – that's my new nickname for Tom.
Okay.
Pop-Tard.
Yeah.
And I saw him on the screen today. I didn't take it. Hey, Joe. Joe, is he accepting our hiatus, our temporary breakup?
I'm just not answering. I know you can see him, so he's there if you want him.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just wondering how much he's calling.
You haven't spoken to him.
Oh, he calls every day, sometimes twice a day.
Okay, all right.
Well, I don't think he's going to understand the concept of hiatus. I don't think he understands that at all.
He understands the concept of potatoes.
Potatoes.
Sounds like.
Breakfast potatoes.
Breakfast.
Breakfast.
Breakfast. All right, so Jerry Lewis has this telethon for MDA every year, and we do all kinds of various exercises. We listen to Jerry being self-indulgent.
Right.
We love hearing Jerry with the crippled kids and the big CEOs from the companies and noticing how many times Jerry says I and me.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, the cause, the
That's
charity.
Fun.
We like the gaffes, the mistakes that are made occasionally, especially by Ed.
Misstatements.
Is Ed having trouble with the numbers this year?
No, Ed did well with the numbers.
Very good.
Trouble with his teeth.
Ed is a slow burn. Ed starts to fall apart as the telethon continues.
Now, sure. Ed works a lot more hours than Jerry, right?
I think Ed did six and six.
Hours.
All right, so here we go. Now, the Jerry Lewis MDA telethon grid sheet. Rob has for us, for those of you who wonder why I am not always anxious to dive into this, 57 different cuts, some of them up to 9 minutes long.
Wow.
So, like, when you say, hey, Don, how come you don't play the Jerry tapes? It's like, once you get into it, I mean, we're going to get into it here, but we...
It's kind of like walking through the maze in The Shining.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a while. It's going to take quite a few segments. So let's just...
That's down from 21 and a half hours.
So let's start with Ed McMahon's opening announcing bit. Rob...
That's funny right there. See, I think that's going to be funny just hearing Ed.
Robbie writes that he does it live, and he seems fine.
Good.
However, he does make a mistake. He introduces the mayor of Las Vegas as the mayor of Los Angeles.
Oh, dear. Well, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Then Jerry gets the key to the city, because isn't that what the telethon's really all about?
Is giving Jerry the key to the city.
Here we go.
Oscar Goodman. That's the man.
We are live from the entertainment capital of the world.
Now, let me just stop right now for all of you offshore betting outlets. It is September 21st at 4:17 when we started to play the Jerry tapes this year. I know a lot of you had the over-under being
you lost,
after Thanksgiving.
You lost people a lot of money today.
Sorry about that, friends.
A lot of money.
Sorry to screw you up like that. I know he's coming at you from left field.
Damn it.
You thought I'd be talking about dog poop or girlfriends or kids or grandkids or Starbucks or something. No. Jerry tapes. We've started them.
Jerry.
Jerry.
Welcome. We are live from the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. It is the 2006 Jerry Lewis Muscular Dystrophy Telethon, coming to you from the newest hotel in Las Vegas, the South Coast Hotel and Spa.
The what?
Starring...
The South Coast Hotel and Spa.
Was it South Shores or South Coast?
South Coast.
South Coast. No, not really. No.
I thought Steve Wynn's place was the newest, not that they're...
Yeah,
they
I mean, Wynn's the biggest and the fanciest.
Jerry Lewis. During the next 20 hours, we'll present the best in the world of entertainment.
All right.
Sounds
now,
right
on.
There like Ed's teeth are slipping,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Ed's got a mouth issue. There is an obvious issue with that.
Time's Jerry.
In the next 20 hours, we'll start for you.
Performers from the world of comedy, music, Broadway, magic, novelty. You'll be entertained by 200 singers, dancers, magicians, and comedians.
Okay, let's go to...
It's hard to put your finger on it.
Magicians is sounding like magicians.
All right, here
he
is.
It doesn't sound like he's talking in a way to hold his teeth in.
Well, let's listen to him now. Here he is introducing the mayor of Vegas as the mayor of Los Angeles.
Oscar Goodman.
And now, please welcome the mayor of the city of Los Angeles. Here's the mayor, Oscar Goodman.
Hey, Ed.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen.
Does he correct himself?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my great pleasure to welcome home one of the world's most recognized entertainers and humanitarians and to present him with the official key to the city of Las Vegas, the national chairman of the Muscular Dystrophy Association, Mr. Jerry Lewis.
All right. Okay.
Slow walk out?
Of course.
Yeah.
Jerry, does he,
Jerry.
Say, does he say anything here? Oh, Jerry speaks?
Yeah. Sometimes this is fun. You just picture him, and is he fat?
No, he looks great.
Good.
He really does.
So
really?
He's not, so he's not all bloated and steroid.
No, and he's not as twitchy as last year.
Really?
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, let's
see. So you got the meds right.
Yeah.
All right. Jerry, thank you so much. Thank you.
There he is.
Anybody?
Thank you, Lee. Thank you so much.
They
thank you.
The mayor. They love you, Jerry. As well they should.
Thank you.
As well they should.
That's a mayor for you, isn't it?
You know,
former mob attorney.
It's not even, hey, Mike.
It's the truth.
Mike, lovable. Mob is an ugly word.
I'm sorry. Former attorney for some friends of ours.
I agree.
There is no mafia.
A wonderful attorney for some very nice businessmen.
He was talking about when I was out there moving all the strip joints to one area of town because they've had some trouble recently.
Goodmanville.
Yeah.
So great having you back home. Thank you, Your Honor. I'm delighted that you're here.
I couldn't be at a better place, to be honest with you. I'm so proud that Las Vegas has you back with us again. We're going to have a great show, and you're going to take care of all your kids and give them the hope that they really deserve. And I thank you on behalf of the city.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to, let me see. This is now... Keeping the light on, Jerry. Mm-hmm. Jerry will talk about how this is his 56th telethon.
Oh, good.
Is that true, 56?
He explains it, but yeah.
Apparently. I would like you to know that this is an actual fact. Telethon 56 for me. Now.
Jerry. Yeah. Jerry, did you start with that?
Yeah. It is our 40th that we regard as official.
He still has got the
still
whole...
still got the breath, breathing
he's
thing.
He's got that...
There's 40th. A point in hour 20 after he sings when I really thought that I was going to have to fly out and help him. He is so out of breath that it was uncomfortable.
And a lot of you are really going to be mad at us whenever we end this. when he sings You'll Never Walk Alone,
right,
when we just start laughing at him.
Well, it's the tradition.
It's impossible not
to. It's what we do.
Since the time in 1966 when we did the first color telecast Coast to Coast. But I'm sitting in the dressing room before the show, and I said, I can't believe this. I'm doing the 56th one. And yet, each time you do it, you feel like you're making a difference.
You're saying he looked better because he sounds
out twitchy.
Of breath. Yeah. This is the first 3 minutes he's just
his
come
whole
on
thing
stage.
Is like the lung thing, right?
If you could see the man, a thing of beauty.
Now is he still jet black?
No, more of the color of pewter.
Really?
Hair.
Oh, really? So he's a little gray now.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
And we are. We're going to entertain you tonight. We're also going to try to inform you. And to let you know
There's a little Dick Clark in there, too. I mean, look, everybody, we're getting old. Everybody's going to get old. But there's something going on. If you're going to throw yourself out on national television, we're going to analyze it because that's our job.
That we're making with all of the help that you've been there giving us over the years.
Good start.
Mm-hmm. Rock and roll.
Good start.
I really hope that I'm not the only one because I can just listen to him talk. Just talk normally. There's nothing he's saying that's makes me laugh.
You could put this on and say, guess the hour. How many hours in a row has this guy been up?
Well, the telethon is 21 and a half hours.
And this is his opening monologue.
Yeah, right.
About 10 minutes in.
Right now he's as strong as a bull.
Right.
But there's certain words that are just...
And mouth noises.
Yeah, mouth noises. Yes.
All right, let's move on now to him introing Celine Dion.
Oh, this is horrible.
Rob's only note is that Jerry is really out of breath.
Okay.
So this is 10 minutes into the show.
And how many people can say they've had an entire coliseum built for them? How many? When you think about it, we've had Wayne Newton. They made the Wayne Newton Theater, the Wayne Newton showroom. We've had great performance, the Jack Benny showroom. Well, over the years, they've honored individual performers. This lady had a coliseum built for her.
Jerry's mouth has been varnished. Someone has put varnish in his
this
mouth.
This lady.
And if you haven't seen her, then I'm telling you now, you're missing the chance of a lifetime.
He sounds like he had just run from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, for God's sake.
He did cross from stage left to stage right.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Well, that explains it.
We're going to present her to you tonight because she's a wonderful friend.
Wonderful.
She's the biggest name that we could get.
Is Marvelous in there at all?
He goes to Marvelous and My Friend throughout the show.
Marvelous.
She's the biggest name we could get. She happens to be doing her show in Las Vegas.
She's at Caesars, baby.
And, of course, she's been there for me every time I've asked her. But when you folks are out of here, if you don't try to see this lady at the Coliseum at the Caesars Palace, you're going to be nuts. Please welcome our first performer tonight and my dear friend Celine Dion, ladies and gentlemen.
Gentlemen.
And he loves that.
Incidentally, when you hear Jerry say that, you have to listen carefully. He does not say, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
He says, ladies and gentlemen.
Gentlemen. I'm going to skip around a little bit here.
All right, very good.
Just keep note at where we're going.
All right.
Does he get mad in this year's telethon? Does he get annoyed?
He does.
Does he mention Hitler or the Nazis?
Eva Braun?
No Hitler joke this year, I don't think. He does get annoyed at the tote board.
Oh, good. All right.
Oh, that'd be great.
His old-fashioned opponent, the tote board.
Here we go. Here's one that says, Ed has his first flirtation with slurring.
Right now, let's meet America's number one firefighter, the General President of the International Association of Firefighters, and an MDA National Vice President, Harold Schaeferger, along with IAFF General Secretary Treasurer, Vincent Bolin.
Here they are, my heroes.
Yeah!
His first flirtation.
Here are these guys, folks.
Okay, here's Jerry.
I'm enjoying this one because it's just a little longer in the tooth and it's fun. Yeah.
Jerry can't seem to read cue cards.
Huh. It was a hit movie in the 90s about a wedding singer in the 80s. Is that right? And now it's taking Broadway by storm with a slew of new songs for the musical. Here is the cast to perform from the Broadway smash, The Wedding Singer.
Singer.
Yeah.
Singer. How about Jerry takes a moment to embarrass a sponsor that just gave him $1 million?
Oh, good.
Good. All right.
That's the nice part of national sponsors. They come on the show, they make a presentation, and they stand there when it's over. It's okay, PJ. You're done. Just go get another check.
Mavis hasn't told me to leave.
Who didn't tell you?
Mavis,
cue her off. Thank you very much. Jesus.
That counts as him getting pissed.
Yeah, and you know what?
That counts.
The quote was, Jesus.
Now he's just, I wish you knew. Do you know by any chance how much the check was for, how much he just got?
It was $1 million.
$1 million, and wow. And he's dissing the lady that gave him the check.
Can we get her off here?
Kill her off.
It's not like she's a showbiz person. She's a lady who brought him a check. Right.
For $1 million.
Exactly.
They stand there. Now kill her off.
Mavis? That is, and that's really all he does anymore. He does one or two songs,
right.
But he sits at what he calls home base, which is his lectern, right, and he receives checks.
With right. A stool.
Exactly, a beautiful stool.
Here is Jerry losing his place and ad-libbing.
Hello, Jerry. Where are we? Are we?
Yes, we are.
Rob, what hour is this, incidentally?
Yeah.
What number cut is it?
14.
Oh, this is like hour four, three or four.
Okay.
Hello, Jerry. Where are we? Are we?
Yes, we
look
how
at that.
Doing, Jerry?
See the set? We're all on television, son of a gun. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Nice to see you. Boom, 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 boom. Looks like a group. The Ringworms, ladies and gentlemen. No.
Jerry, this hi. Evening...
Wow. And I like wow. It when you literally hear one person laughing. Yeah. And is that the same put-upon woman... That's been with him for a very long time. She sounds
similar. The stage manager, he talks
about the one that he
her,
calls Eva Braun.
And he talks about her place. Yeah, I think so.
All right, well, listen, everybody liking these? Should we come back and do some more of these in another break?
Because the more you're playing, the deeper we're getting into it. And I love it. Okay, I really do. Way, more Ed. More Ed.
We definitely have Greg Garcia coming on today to talk about My Name is Earl. Right. Oh, I just wanted to give everybody a heads up. I think, Robbie, did you tell Greg? I think it'd be great if everybody called.
He's cool with it, yeah.
Called in. If you are a fan of My Name is Earl, you know, this guy that made the show up, the director, the creator, the producer,
right.
The writer, everything, Greg Garcia, as right. We've talked about before, used to go get us food at 7-Eleven. Used to be an intern on our show.
Right. Brilliantly funny writer.
And we love the show. Everybody loves My Name is Earl.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in a killer freaking time slot. Tonight, they've got it on against the black, white, Asian, Latino Survivor.
Right.
And it's on against the first hour of a two-hour Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean.
Very tough.
They gave him just a POS time slot.
Right.
So I know Greg would really appreciate, and if there are any fans of the show, and I know there are,
mm-hmm.
You could call him and ask him stuff. About the show and about the characters.
He's very cool. I said we'd try to filter out the jackasses. So please no jackasses.
I don't think there will be jackasses. And what I love about him is the fact that he is, while he's very successful
right.
At this point in his young career,
yeah,
he's goddamn insecure. I mean,
it's good.
It's a good thing.
That's why he is right. Successful in show business.
It's a good thing that Greg is insecure. Like, for instance, you would think, everybody in the world knows about My Name is Earl.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, everybody in our pop culture world knows
right.
About that. He felt the need to get on at 5 o'clock today,
right.
Which is prime time for the show,
mm-hmm.
To plug it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And made no bones
sure.
About it. Like called and said, "Hey, can I plug the show?"
Yeah, he's still pushing for it.
Can I come on Thursday?
Yes.
That's
yeah.
When it premieres.
Day of the
I
show.
Mean,
yeah.
That's why he's
absolutely
that's great. Why he still is a cool guy.
And, you know, we got to introduce the guy as he will always be introduced now, Emmy Award winner Greg
yeah.
Garcia, because
right.
He is, man. And he gave one of the funniest acceptance speeches yep. I've ever seen at the Emmys.
So we've got him coming up also in the next hour. So just, you know, be hip to that. And you animals, when you call in, be on your best behavior.
Please.
Yes, please.
I mean, really, Greg won't tell you, and I won't bring it up on the air, but his sphincter is very tight.
Yeah, because that is a tough time slot.
It's not the Survivor that he's worried about so much.
Right.
It's the goddamn two-hour Grey's Anatomy.
Right. Yeah.
You know, which I got from Janet this
morning. Are they all doing the two-hour things tonight? Is everybody doing... Isn't it a two-hour CSI tonight?
No, 1 hour CSI.
1 hour CSI.
And it's a two-parter.
And I got that from...
Oh, no.
I got that from Janet last night. We were discussing on the telephone. Mm-hmm. She's going to come over tonight. And
right.
Something about... I said, great, you know, we can watch CSI. And she's like, no, we can watch Grey's Anatomy. And I said, I'm not watching Grey's Anatomy. It's on the same time at CSI. Right. And she said... Well, no, it's on an hour earlier than CSI. And I said, oh, well, no, I'm watching My Name is Earl. You know, so finally, I mean, we're back and forth. And, you know, finally I had to say, well, TiVo. We will TiVo Grey's Anatomy for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and at some point, and she got very uptight, like her favorite show.
Right.
She said, well, are you sure that the TiVo will, will TiVo know that it's on for 2 hours?
Yes, TiVo.
Like, yes.
You can talk to the TiVo.
Yes, TiVo. I know.
And it will answer you.
TiVo will know. So, you know, I mean, God damn, that's what Greg is going through.
Right.
Just the thought of, like, that conversation with my girlfriend tonight. Like, you know, what are you going to watch tonight? Normally there's nothing on.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And tonight's the night that they put all the good shows on, and they're all on at the same time.
Do any of you guys look at Grey's Anatomy?
I watch it.
No, but I'll be very interested to talk about Mr. Garcia's anatomy, Greg's anatomy.
That's another good show.
Yeah, because he's a little uptight.
Do you watch it?
No.
I watched it a couple of times. I watched it once.
I do.
Every
time.
You like it?
I do, yeah.
I think Carrie watches it, but I'm not sure. She's in another room.
I like that Chinese chick.
Yeah. Sandra Oh.
That was in the Booze movie.
Right.
And Arliss.
A couple of other very attractive women on that show.
Sideways.
Sideways, right. Great movie.
And I always thought she was hot on Arliss. Back in the day.
Oh, I did not like her on Arliss.
No, I didn't
like anybody on it. You liked Arliss, didn't you? A little bit.
I liked her on Arliss. And you know who else I liked on Arliss? The black guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know the other agent? Now, Rob,
the slightly gay black guy?
I know. Rob's just shaking his head. The guy that went on to be on the
dandy.
Show.
Dandy?
Yeah, he went on with Michael J. Fox on that stupid show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Buzz watches Grey's Anatomy just because he can talk to chicks about it.
That's right.
That's the main reason.
With Buzz, it's the truth.
It's true.
Because Buzz is an anatomy.
It's Grey.
It's Grey.
In parts.
All right, well, we'll talk to Greg Garcia, but that's not next, right?
No.
We got time. How about when we come back?
More Ed.
When we come back, here's who I'll have for you, Mike. We can choose from the following of the Jerry tapes.
Okay.
We're going to start having some audio problems where Jerry and Ed cannot hear each other.
Oh, good.
I'm all for that.
Oh, man.
Then we have Jerry introducing and paneling Tony Orlando. Jerry introduces the Village People.
Oh.
It's a good one this year.
Jerry tries to get his dog to do a trick, and the dog will not do it.
He brings his dog out?
Yeah.
Wow.
Something happens to Ed's voice.
Oh, you should tease with that before we go to commercial.
Really?
Yeah.
Something happens to Ed's voice?
Just
please
play
do.
A touch of it.
Please.
Because you're going to want to hear it a dozen times.
All right.
Cut 28.
I almost fell out of my Davenport when I heard this.
You almost fell out. Okay, here we go. Ed almost loses his voice.
There's more coming up with Bird of the Plaid, Daniel Rodriguez, The Color Purple, and Bob Zaney. So stick around.
Oh, dear.
Oh, man.
That's it. Pay dirt. That's the year. We got that one for the year.
God damn.
Ed.
Can you imagine if Johnny was still doing the Tonight Show and he intro'd it that way?
There's more coming up with Bird of the Plaid, Daniel Rodriguez, The Color Purple, and Bob Zaney. So stick around.
Wow.
Is that deep into the telethon?
It was like hour five.
Call the doctor.
My
Call
goodness.
Call the doctor.
They referred back to it later. Bob Zaney, who does the overnight, wanted to ask Ed a question. He said, oh, I forgot. We're not supposed to make Ed talk.
Oh, my God.
And then we have Tom Bergeron. And then we
Bergeron.
And we get into Larry King. Yeah. Very uncomfortable. He's talking about the kid being the new Maddie. Yeah.
Tom Bergeron.
And then it's Jerry being Jerry. And oh, my goodness. And Jerry gives that $1 more speech again this year?
Always.
$1 more.
All right. We'll get back to the telephone tape.
There's more coming up with Bird of the Plaid, Daniel Rodriguez, The Color Purple, and Bob Zaney. So stick around.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
God damn, you're right. That's going to get played 1 million times.
Wow.
I mean, we're going to run that so far into the ground. Some guy in China is going to be hitting the head with it. That's how far on the ground we're going to run that thing. Well, Mike, let's go to break. Ed, what's coming up after the break?
There's more coming up with Vertical Plan. Daniel Rodriguez, The Color Purple, and Bob Zaney. So stick around.
Right, buddy.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let me see. We've heard Ed slurring. How about we continue with... Oh, I know what I selected. Here we go. The first time that Jerry can't hear Ed.
Yes. And he's not a patient man.
No, he's not patient during that telephone.
I got to say, I'm on Jerry's side on this one. Yeah, without hearing the tape, I'm already on Jerry's side.
Right. All right, as always.
But let's hear him.
And MDA Vice President P.J. Martin Smith.
You know, to me, Ed still sounds effed up at the beginning of that.
Ed is too old to be doing what he's doing.
I contend he's talking in an affected way to try and keep his teeth in.
And MDA Vice President P.J. Martin Smith.
I didn't hear Ed McMahon introduce you. I'm sorry, darling. Mike's Ed was not Ed's mic was not open.
Wait a minute.
Ed,
I don't want to have any.
Will you hold it?
What? I don't want to make any
all
mistakes.
All the years I know you, I know you've held it.
Wait a minute. Just a second. I don't want to make any mistakes. So listen to me. Here's what I said. And you look terrific, and you're a sensation. Everybody's talking about you.
Ed sounds a little baked.
Do you know what it's like? Can you imagine what it's like working with the elderly?
Can you imagine what it's like to smell these guys' diapers? Ed and Jerry as they come off stage.
The sweaty Old Spice smell.
It's just so uncomfortable.
Uh-huh. Oh, the Marines have landed.
Not making any sense.
Oh, boy, will you pay for that.
I know.
Kiss me.
BJ.
BJ, was he requesting something of Ed?
From Ed, yes.
All right, now let's go to two segments later. Jerry still can't hear Ed.
And his name is Jim McCaslin. I hope you got that part.
Did we hear that? Jim, don't go yet. Ed, we really didn't hear the introduction. Would you just once again let the people know?
Ed,
Jerry, our voice is being. Help me.
You could almost say the telethon was for them.
Yeah.
That the kids were, had nothing to do
it
with
is
it.
It is truly, they're starting to spar a little bit.
Yeah.
Who Jim is?
I'd be happy to do that if I could.
He's
a nice guy, and guess what? He's a president and a chief operating officer, and he works with Harley Davidson. You know, they make, what do they call those things that they ride on?
Ed.
A rickshaw, a Jewish rickshaw.
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about it.
Jewish rickshaw. He makes those things they ride on. Wow. A Jewish rickshaw.
Jewish rickshaw.
What's he talking about, like a rascal?
No, I don't know.
Harley Davidson, a motorcycle.
I didn't even know.
Ed's talking about a motorcycle. He's in a Harley Davidson, and he makes those little things you ride on. What are they called?
A Japanese rickshaw.
It's Ed trying to be funny.
Vice President, and he's with us today, Jim McCaslin.
Welcome, Jim, and happy Harley.
All right, here's Jerry being humbled.
No sense.
Yeah, right.
Here is Jerry being humbled.
Really?
Yeah, but he still brings up his age.
I'm deeply humbled by the fact that these people are here and that they do this. And I just guess I have to do a little homework every once in a while. But remember, when you're 80, oh, Jesus.
Here it is again, oh, Jesus.
When you're 80. He's using that.
Of course he
in
is.
In the great showbiz tradition.
Yes.
And he's going to introduce sucky Tony Orlando.
Oh, my God.
Now.
Okay. This next gentleman, who's a dear friend to MDA.
Hold on. Does he say marvelous? I'm going to bet he says marvelous here. I've not heard these
And
days.
I want to throw this out at you. Do you think that Tony Orlando is thinking that if he waits long enough that the gig is his?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lead pipe cinch.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Casey Kasem used to think it was going to be his.
And Jerry just hangs up.
And I bet somewhere, somewhere in the Hollywood Hills, Ryan Seacrest is sitting around thinking.
He's eyeing it.
5 years from now, that might be a nice gig to have.
Casey used to do a lot. He didn't do anything this year, except they still use his recorded voice for the phone number. But no live appearance by Mr. Casey.
Well, and Jerry will be doing it when he's 90.
That's true.
Right, now we hear he's going to get into Tony Orlando now, so to speak.
Hey. Oh.
And the telethon is known from television, movies, and Broadway, especially with his huge hits, Candida, Knock Three Times, and Tie a Yellow Ribbon.
Way to read those like they are foreign titles that no one in America has ever heard before, Jerry.
Please welcome from New York, my dear friend, Tony Orlando.
Oh, I would have lost. He didn't say marvelous.
He's still close to us.
Hi, baby.
My dear friend.
For the heart of a champion. This is for you, Jerry. Oh, yeah. Aye.
What the hell is that?
They panel after the song. It must be the next cut.
All right. Let's hear them talk a little bit.
They panel.
Tony hosts it in New York.
Right.
So he's in the waiting room.
Before. Yeah, Tony Orlando. Hey, Tony.
Hi, Joe.
You know something? I have to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I do not miss Dawn.
Hey, guess what? Me either.
Different Dawn.
Dawn, that's my ex-wife, Dawn. I don't miss her either. Oh, he's talking about the singing group.
Yes, Tony Orlando.
It's so good to see you, my Puerto Rican Jew. How are you?
Muchas gracias, and thank you so much.
Si, que better to do de apnea for those.
L'chaim.
I hope so for your sake. Thank you, Tony.
You are doing a magnificent job, looking so thin. I mean, I don't know. You
marvelous.
Gained it on prednisone. I gained it on pizza. let me tell you something.
Oh, this is awkward,
can
man.
Can this be more awkward,
this is
with,
awkward
that,
television.
With that bad half-a-second satellite delay happening?
Yeah, they're not in the skip. You shouldn't have anybody have to talk like that.
You don't want to look like Jiminy Glick, do you? You got to knock it off with eating already.
Hello?
Okay, we'll talk later.
Later. I love you.
I love you too, Tony. Thank you, and thank you, group, for coming.
That's it.
Thank you so much. All right, Tony.
When in doubt.
I love you.
I love you.
All right. One more, and this is just going to have to tide everybody over until tomorrow.
Okay.
Because we're going to talk to Greg Garcia here in a second.
Very good. Very good, Jerry.
Let me just, we are not even, see what I said? This is like something, you can't do this in one day.
I love it.
I have glossed over Ed discussing being in the Marines. I have gone past Jerry with perhaps, in my opinion, the most annoying woman on the face of the earth, Jan Carl.
Jan Carl!
From Entertainment Tonight. Jerry and his heroes, the firefighters. Jerry screws up again with cue cards. Jerry screws up with Rita Rudner.
Jerry is a consistent screw-up throughout.
Jerry
That's
still,
what makes it special.
Jerry still can't hear Ed. Jerry intros the village people. Jerry tries to get his dog to do tricks. Ed is getting sleepy. Ed talks over Norm Crosby. Tom Bergeron comes out and sucks. And then it's Larry King.
Hilarious.
Wow, so much.
Wow.
There's so much there.
And Larry starts by, of course, introducing his wife.
How about that? Take a bow. Take a bow, guys. The Runaway Bunny. Sean King and the Runaway Bunny. Ed McMahon, what a way to kick off the hour.
Oh, what, that was great, Larry. Boy, I love
what
that.
What was on the show?
His wife read a book to a bunch of crippled kids.
That's the Runaway Bunny.
The Runaway Bunny.
Take a bow!
That was great. You can read. Duh.
That is a very, very put-upon woman. I don't care.
Now here's one you want to listen to very carefully. The Hope of Larry King. I've heard this one. Listen to the way he says hope.
Congratulations. What a story. Great, great work. And every year I come here and I always say the same thing. I hope.
Wow.
Hope.
Now to life, l'chaim.
He's doing the Jew thing.
Hope.
Because as you've heard from Jerry, Jerry pushes the Jew thing on everybody.
Yes, he does. Yes.
That's Jerry's fallback. When Jerry is uncomfortable, if he doesn't know what to say.
My Puerto Rican Jew friend, Tony Orlando.
But the hope thing.
I hope.
I mean, is he doing that on purpose?
No.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just a sagging neck.
Let's hear it one more time.
Congratulations. What a story. Great, great work. And every year I come here and I always say the same thing. I hope.
All right. Last one we're going to hear now. We played you this one yesterday. This may be the highlight, maybe even better than Ed slurring.
All right.
This is Larry King making everybody feel uncomfortable. Most everybody listening, as I'm sure you guys are aware of this kid, Maddie.
Right.
He was on the Oprah show. He was friends with Jimmy Carter, with President Clinton.
Maddie Stepanek, he wrote a best-selling book.
Right.
Songs from My Heart, I think it was.
So anyway, the kid died, and like Oprah went to his funeral, and he got a Nobel Peace Prize. And anyway, they've got a new kid now. And rather than handle this with any kind of, no pun intended, kid gloves, Larry just goes right to it.
Yeah, you know, take the dystrophy out of the equation here. You've got Larry King, who we have demonstrated in years past should not be interviewing children kind. He is way too harsh to
interview
children.
To our show around Christmas time when we play the tapes of Larry with Santa Claus.
It's hysterical, but Larry terrifies children.
This young man with a question for Santa Claus. Go!
Here I am, in your face, big frog face. What, you got to listen. He does this again.
Larry King actually asks Santa Claus if he takes antibiotics. Yes.
Amazing. Amazing. He is not Art Linkletter. He should not attempt to be Art Linkletter.
All right, so here he is. Here's Larry making everybody feel uncomfortable when he brings out this new kid who is the new poster child. Okay, here we go. Larry.
Wow. Thank you. Put a mic on Riley. Can we get a nice close-up of Riley?
He's the kid.
How old are you, Ryle?
I'm 8.
And you were a friend of Maddie Stepanek's, right?
Yes.
So now, already, we're talking about a dead kid.
Right? That's uncomfortable right there.
Right away, he's done the first bad thing.
Right.
You were friends with the kid that died from the disease.
And he has the same condition, right?
He's out there in a wheelchair.
Okay.
You're going to be like the new sort of spoke. You're like Maddie's new guy. Right? You're the new Maddie.
What an asshat. Really?
That means you're going to die in a couple of years.
Unbelievable.
How bad is it when an 8-year-old kid realizes that they're on dangerous ground before the host?
And of course, someone in the background
that
is
means
doing
you're, you're the new Maddie.
Hi.
You're his new guy.
You're the guy until you die like the other one did.
If you got a child that was the right age, I am sure that they would react to Larry.
Well, let's hear a little
Like seeing some sort of nightmare.
Right. I stopped it right there where he says, you're the new Maddie. There's still about 30 seconds to go.
Yeah, idiot.
Well, you look terrific. Where do you live?
I live in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, I know that. Western Pennsylvania. How old? You're 8 years old.
Yes.
You go to school?
No, I'm homebound schooled.
Well, you keep growing, keep getting tough. You look great. Best of luck to you, Riley.
Don't forget you're going to die in a couple of years like little Maddie did.
God almighty.
Thank you.
The new Maddie.
Best of luck. Way to do the research.
He says it again. Hold on, let me back it up for a second.
So do you get out, or does your disease make you stay
home? We just
got to
hear the whole thing, because he says at the end, so there you go, the new Maddie.
You know, in its little way, it is just so damn harsh. It really is.
So now listen to it all the way through to the very end, where even after he stepped on his D,
right.
He says
he doesn't. He doesn't catch on at that point.
So, the new Maddie here now without us jumping in.
Wow, thank you. Could we put a mic on Riley? Can we get a nice close up of Riley? How old are you, Ryle?
I'm 8.
And you were a friend of Maddie Stepanek's, right?
Yes.
And you're going to be like the new sort of you're like Maddie's new guy. Right? You're the new Maddie.
Oh.
Yes. Okay.
Well, you look terrific. Where do you live?
I live in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, I know that. Western Pennsylvania. How old? You're 8 years old.
Yes.
You go to school?
No, I'm homebound schooled.
Well, you keep growing, keep getting tough. You look great. Best of luck to you, Riley.
Thank you.
The new Maddie.
What a jerk.
He is.
Look at that face.
Look at that face. He's going to die soon like little Maddie did.
Look at that face.
What a kid.
Good at living. What a kid.
How about that
kid? Nice Windsor knot, too.
Before you close, can you play It's Near There, where He says it's an exciting timpani, and I want you to hear how when Larry's the ringmaster, when he's running things, the kind of real exciting fervor that he injects into the telephone.
Larry. One more Larry tape, and then we got a break for Greg Garcia.
Wow. 29,259,791. Jan?
Wow.
I'm exhilarated, Rob. You called it.
What a douche.
Jan?
What a
Jan?
Douche.
I am motivated.
Oh,
wow.
Okay, so Mike, now, without having heard all of them.
Right.
Is your favorite thus far the awkward moment with Maddie or the new Maddie?
No.
Was it what we just heard?
Close.
Or was it this?
Who's the guy in the cab?
He looks very familiar.
Oh, hold on. Ooh, that's a different one. Hold on. That's what we haven't heard yet.
That's right? Uncharted ground.
Or was it this one?
There's more coming out with Vertical Plan. Daniel Rodriguez,
yeah.
The Color Purple, and Bob Zaney. So stick around.
How do you argue with that? It's the clear winner.
That's the best thus far.
Absolutely.
To be continued.
Every telethon, we get at least one diamond, and that is the diamond so far.
To be continued. All right. All right, BM Eaters, be on your best behavior. We're going to come back and talk to our friend who we like to pass off as our prodigy.
We'll be right back with Forever Plaid.
Greg Garcia, who is the brains behind My Name is Earl. Right. So if you want to talk about the new season of the show and assuage his fears about the ratings and everything, and let him know he's got a hit show, give us a call. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Mike O'Mara.
Hi.
Mike O'Mara, my best buddy.
Yes.
My radio partner of over 20 years.
Yes, sir.
You have lost a lot of weight recently.
Recently, yes.
We're all proud of you.
Got to the 40-pound mark, and I've been fluctuating around that by about 5 pounds.
And we've been very worried because, you know, when you weigh 40 pounds.
No. Yeah.
I know.
I mean, that's
too thin.
That stuff.
I have another 40 to lose, and then I will be where I want to be. I will be at a svelte 285 pounds, which is where I want to be.
Fighting weight.
That's where I want my weight to be, 285 pounds. So another 40, I think I might get there.
When I come in today, you know, we always do with each other, hey, how was your weekend?
Right.
You know,
I was leading up to my niece's wedding last weekend, and I was very kind of conscientious about what I would eat to, you know, within reason. And after the wedding, we've kind of had two weekends where we've kind of gone out of our minds. And I'll stop saying kind of because it's really not kind of at all. It is. It is what it is. And the fact is, this past weekend.
What did you eat?
We, and more particularly, I ate myself through the weekend. It was, it was a motorcycle journey to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. A location that is fairly close by Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be a good bike ride because I don't like to drive. I don't like to take these 10-hour motorcycle rides.
Right.
I like to take a little hour, hour and a half, two-hour hop-up somewhere because I like to get to the destination. And it turned out to be fantastic. It was a absolutely glorious
The open road
weekend.
Is your bitch.
Well, also, this is I mean, there were lots of motorcycles out this weekend because it was absolutely phenomenal. The weather could not have been better. It was the best weekend of the summer as far as weather was concerned. But I think because the weather dried out and there was less humidity, I think I was more inclined to get my feed bag on. And, you know, I said that I would do this during the commercial break, and I was actually jotting this down. I don't think this is anything that I need counseling over, but
Is that a front page and a back page?
That's a page and a half of food. I wrote down everything that I ate starting from Saturday all the way through the weekend because I don't really remember Friday night that much. But Friday night there wasn't a lot of food involved.
Let's compare.
Yeah.
Well, where do you start?
I start because we had a late night on Friday.
You start with Saturday?
I start with Saturday at lunchtime. And that's so really, I'm not eating any breakfast whatsoever on Saturday, and I want to get extra credit for that, all right?
All right.
We get on the motorcycles. We get a start at about, I would say, 11 o'clock. We leave my hometown, And we make our way up almost like a Union battle group would make our way through these historical towns. We enter the town, the hamlet of Leesburg, Virginia, at about lunchtime. And we have no game plan. And we come up to a traffic light. And I said to Carla, I said, listen, let's not do that Subway thing. We always eat Subway. It'll be easier on the motorcycles if we instead of eating that healthy little sub that we always eat that's part of the Weight Watchers thing, if we just stop at a decent, let's stop at a nice restaurant, have a nice lunch. That's part of the fun. That's where it began. That's where I set the table for the weekend of eating. And it was
did you have trouble holding food down Saturday morning?
No, it was just late. It was late and we got started. Okay. It was kind of a last minute trip. We got a hotel reservation up in Gettysburg.
Yeah.
It's very hard to do.
Yeah.
Very hard to do. What's that?
Was it the Ritz-Carlton?
It was the Ritz-Carlton Gettysburg, you know, and to get the luxury accommodations. No, it was a real nice place that we stayed up there. I forgot the name of it again. No, I do remember it.
Skanks for the memories.
It was great. So we
the name of the place is Don't Smell This Pillow. The name of this place was Don't Look Under the Sheets.
It was fabulous.
This mattress is stained.
It was wonderful. Smelled good. So we get our way. We make our way into Leesburg, and we arrive in Leesburg at lunchtime.
Band-Aid in. That's a good one, Ron.
Oh, the fabulous Band-Aid in. It was wonderful. You always will say that from that hotel in New York with a Band-Aid on the floor. So we find this place, and when you're on a motorcycle, you see something, you turn into a parking lot, and it's not like when you're in a car where you can really crane your neck and find a place to go.
Born to be wild.
It's the freedom of the road, Don. That's what I like to tell you. It's the freedom of the road. It's Easy Rider is what it is. It's the open road. But we pull into this parking lot, and it says parking for such and such restaurant only. And I do not remember the name of this restaurant. All I know is that when we walked in, we got kind of our jeans on, and we're kind of road dirty, and we walk in. And this is a very upscale restaurant, but they're serving lunch. Right. And I said, what the hell? Let's sit down. If they don't kick us out because we're like not dressed like all the old ladies that are in here, we'll sit down and we'll eat. So we sit down, and that's when the feeding began. And man, I had...
Do you have a list?
I have a list.
Well, then let me see if we've got some music.
All right. Lunch.
What Mike ate this weekend.
Leesburg, Virginia. This is the fancy. This is the fanciest eating that I did.
All right.
This was an upscale restaurant. I had a thing called a Peking duck quesadilla.
Mm.
Wow.
And that is a deep fried duck between tortilla that is pan fried in oil with cheese. And then I had what I would like to think, but it was absolutely incredible, and I ate it. And at that point, I ordered a very light entree, which was a salad. I got the Asian chicken salad with peanut sauce. With peanut dressing.
Duck. Okay.
Carla ordered a BLT. Carla ate half of her BLT. I ate the second half. So lunch was Peking duck quesadilla, Asian chicken salad, and a half of BLT.
Good lunch, Mike.
We then hit the road, made a couple of stops, and by the time we got to Gettysburg, I was hungry.
Sure.
And at that point, you know, nothing outrageous. I had a root beer float. And Carla had a Diet Coke.
Take the edge off.
At the hotel, you know, we got ready to, we got there, I would say, 2 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock, I don't remember. 3:30 probably is when we checked into the hotel.
Yeah.
And I hung out. That's when we kind of passed out because I was kind of having my post-buzz root beer float. And I told them when they were making it, I don't eat like this very often anymore.
Right.
I said, you know, don't skimp on the ice cream. So I said, put it in there, and she just loaded it. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
So I had a little bit of a, you know, post-root beer float buzz. To say I passed out would be an overstatement, but I did. I did close my eyes in between watching the game and walking around town and doing that. And then I got a... now, listen, I count soft drinks because I don't eat anything but diet, drink anything but diet. I didn't go to diabetic shock. I had a Tropicana Twister when we went out walking around.
That
doesn't count. Got back to the hotel, and before I went out for the count, watched the end of the baseball game. Really good Red Sox game was on against the Orioles. I had a chocolate bar because they delivered the chocolate for the evening because they weren't going to be there in the morning. And just a little piece, just a tiny little piece of coffee cake that they were dropping off for the morning.
Fair enough.
Then I went out, okay? I mean out. I slept, and we got up about, I would say 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Wow.
That night, we were walking around trying to figure out where we were going
to
go.
You didn't go to sleep for the night. You just took a nap.
You took a nap because we had to get up for dinner.
Oh. Okay. So you woke up at 6 p.m.
6 p.m. or so, we headed out for dinner. 6:30, 6:30.
You've already had all of that Chinese food.
I had, so far today, Peking duck quesadilla, half of Carla's BLT, an Asian chicken salad sandwich, a root beer float, a chocolate bar, and a piece of coffee cake.
I'm unclear. Who was bringing chocolate where?
The people at the hotel give you the chocolate for the morning. They drop it off in the afternoon.
It's not
like they give it to you overnight. Right. Normally people would be out of the hotel.
Right? I see.
Right. So they were there, and they said, well, we can drop it off later. Okay. I'm like, no.
All right, so
then it's dinner time.
You slept off that food.
And I do something I haven't done in a long time. Okay. We go Italian. We go to Mama Ventura's.
Yeah. Whoa.
And, man, I am ready. I get all the stuff I really want.
What'd you get?
Well, it started with fried calamari. If you want, now there were other less fattening things on the appetizer menu, but I said, really, when you want to say the very best, yep. And man, it was lightly breaded and lightly fried. It was absolutely fantastic.
You bet you couldn't have had a root beer float with it.
Well, they didn't offer it. They didn't offer the root beer float. After that, I ate my appetizer. Carla had ordered the fresh tomato with mozzarella salad.
Ooh.
Yeah. But it looked pretty good because the tomatoes looked really, and I ate half of that.
Right.
Because she obviously didn't finish hers. And then I had the pasta, I forget what it's called, frutta di mare, whatever pasta. It's pasta with a big plate of spaghetti with clams, mussels, shrimp, calamari, and I think that was it. And some cheese on it, of course, that I had. Then after that, I mean, this is everything I've eaten all day. I'm jammed, and we went to the bar to have a cigarette and an after-dinner drink, and we ordered the Italian pastry dessert sampler.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That they brought out. Something sweet. Charlie really didn't want any of it, but that had, like, cookies, macaroons, all this kind of stuff. Didn't have a cannoli. They offered us a cannoli. They had some leftover, lying around. We didn't get that. To bed, what a day. But before bed, we had a little night time. Got a little of the nightlife around Gettysburg.
Gettysburg.
Which is rocking. Yeah. It's got, Vegas has nothing on this.
I'll bet.
And when I got home, like wee hours of the morning, it was like midnight before we turned in, Carlo immediately went to sleep. And I stayed up, because I was kind of wired up. I'm a nighttime guy. And I ate half a coffee cake.
Half a
coffee. It was in the fridge and a few gulps of orange juice. They had gave you the breakfast stuff. No, it's part of the package, and they gave it to you. So Sunday.
Half a coffee.
Half
kid.
A coffee.
But that's it. I was done eating for Saturday.
Way to stop at half.
Was it the top half with all the crumbs on it?
No, it was the second half. It was Sunday we stopped and we headed out early. About 10 o'clock we headed out of Dodge. Ooh. And did a little tour of the battlefield, but the people got pissed off because the Civil War reenactors heard the motorcycle pipes and were not happy, so we kind of got chased out of the battlefield.
Yeah.
We headed out and fortunately...
I bet that made you hungry.
Off of Route 15, I spied the Mountain Gate Restaurant in Thermont, Maryland that I happened to catch off of Route 15. And very luckily... I didn't know this. Now, I used to do this all the time. Luckily, they had a buffet, which they called,
that is lucky.
Even at like 12 noon, they called it their dinner buffet.
Wow.
Mm. And at the buffet, I had corn, mashed potatoes, fried chicken, mac and cheese, roast beef, beef stew, corn fritters, a couple of green beans.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Then, of course, they had a beautiful dessert bar that was there also.
Of course.
What did you have
And
there?
We shared this. I didn't eat all of this. I just had a little taste. We shared a bit of dessert. Uh-huh. Chocolate chip cookies, banana cream pie, Boston cream pie, and something else that tasted really, really good.
I'll bet.
Then it was onto the bikes for some serious riding after that, because it was, enough eating. You got to get home eventually.
Right. And, you weren't sleeping?
By this time, it was a little warmer day on Sunday than it was on Saturday. I'm wearing all black, which is really considering what I ate. Good idea to wear all black.
It's like
fat guys on motorcycles are supposed to wear.
Slimming.
And the sun beating down on me. And I realize one thing. Like, you go out, you play golf, you go on a boat, you go anywhere, you put sunscreen on. Put sunscreen on when you're on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
This is not booze related. This is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer because of my sunburn.
Gotcha.
Like the second one I got. When we got home, we both kind of passed out because it was the sun. It was massive, massive lunch that we had eaten at the Mountain Gate restaurant. And then we woke up once again. My sweat does not smell like vanilla. When I woke up once again, the same that witching hour, about 5 o'clock.
This is yesterday afternoon, we rallied,
and that is when I instructed Carla to think about dinner.
Yeah.
And, of course, she was tired and didn't want to cook, so I said, why don't you go out and surprise me?
Now, normally that is an indicator that we're eating badly, and she's going to come back with something really amazing.
Uh-huh.
And but it really wasn't amazing. All she came back with was Kentucky Fried Chicken. So at 6:30-ish, you know, once she got moving, she got out about 6, came back half hour later.
Right.
3 to 4 pieces of chicken.
Uh-huh.
She got a bucket.
Large
serving of mashed potatoes and gravy.
Yeah.
Some more corn and 2 biscuits. Later on, I'm winding down here, almost at the end.
Holy
right
man.
Before bed, an ice cream sandwich and some light Doritos. That's
How
over 40
pounds. Are you doing?
That's over 40 pounds of food. It was,
wow.
And really, outside of the, you know, hey, no, I don't want to slight the company, but, no slight to KFC, but it was really not as satisfying a meal as I'd had
well,
at other places.
You'll have
that
to try
time,
again.
Was, you know, I would have preferred, really, as I told Carla, I would have liked to try the Popeyes, too.
I've yeah. always found the 5th piece tastes better.
Mm-hmm. But I ate some greens. I turned away a couple of salads over the weekend.
Some tomatoes.
I mean, I was really getting, I mean, when I, it was a mission.
You're incredible.
Once we got into Leesburg, it was a mission.
To eat everything?
Yeah, and here's the thing. I lost 5 pounds. Go figure. No,
wow.
it was delicious, and Gettysburg's a cool place to go, and ride motorcycles is now one of my favorite things to do. I truly, except coming back, my coccyx was a little sore.
Was your mileage less coming back?
No,
no, your gas mileage.
No, it should have. I don't get that.
From the extra weight,
you're fatter.
All
the
food,
oh, okay.
and you're fatter.
Right. Wind resistance.
No, but my coccyx, as they say in Napoleon Dynamite,
your coccyx.
Yeah. Yeah. My coccyx,
yeah, right.
Was well, that's the way that the guy that got arrested.
Yeah, I know.
Says.
Right.
Uncle Rigo.
Yeah, it was a less comfortable ride coming back than it
sure.
was going up.
Of course, it would.
It was very, you know, it was too much sun beating down on me, and you know, I stopped at 7-Eleven too
for a snack.
No, I think I just got a bottle of water.
Ah, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
You just got just a bottle of water?
Nothing yet.
I haven't had anything, really. I've been on my diet today, though.
Good.
Good for you, Mike.
Good.
Nothing but Reese's Pieces.
All it's done. A gas! Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello? Oh, I see what I got to do. That's my fault. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Mike, I want to know if when you took your nap, you left instructions to be wakened and fed a cherry pie.
I don't know, but I mean, there was really it was passing out due to food both times.
And go Red Sox, by the way.
Thank you very much. Hey, I had a Boston cream pie at the Mountain Gate restaurant.
A whole pie?
There's some big women in Thurmont, Maryland. I don't mind telling you.
Sturdy.
All that food. Sturdy.
Party right next to us, man. And they started with salads. It was the sweetest thing.
Coffee cake.
They started out with salads, and I said, that's not going to be the only
Hello.
Thing.
Hello.
Man, oh, man.
Don and Mike.
You were right.
Hello. Hey, Mike.
Yep.
Are you still drinking diet sodas when all this is going down?
No. Actually, I didn't mention that. We drank a ton of Sprite last night, too.
Sugared Sprite.
Sugared Sprite.
Not diet Sprite?
That, to me, is going all the way. That is committing to eating badly.
That's a wasted move, huh?
That is getting out of your system. We did eat Sprite, but, I mean, I had a couple of...
We did eat Sprite.
I mean, we ate a couple of Diet Cokes over the weekend, too.
All right.
And we ate
hey,
some
Don.
Diet Pepsis, too.
Yes.
Have you been doing any gigging lately?
Gigging.
Do some gigging.
Get out of here. Well, that's a good list, Mike, and thank you for that.
And that Italian food was just fantastic.
Sounds like it.
Well, sure.
Oh, I was. No, I mean, really, it was not because I was just eating bad. It was when you're going to eat bad and you hit a restaurant that serves the good stuff, man, oh, man, Jesus Christ, I'm going to kick your ass. But, of course, I think the next weekend I should be a little more mellow with the chow, probably.
So.
Let us know.
Because you don't lose unless you can't do that on the weekends and no. still and still maintain your weight.
You're fighting.
Here's a little bulletin. You tend to gain when you eat like that.
No, that is, Mike, that is an urban myth.
I think you're probably right.
Urban legend.
Mm-hmm. I think as long as you chew it
you
good.
You know how you lose weight?
How do you lose weight?
By making people laugh.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. By right. making people laugh.
Well, and then I certainly hope I'm able to lose more this year.
Start laughing.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Skinny. Did you eat anything bad this weekend?
I did. I also fell off the wagon. My list pales next to yours.
Oh,
but for
on,
me, a horrible,
on,
horrible list.
All right. Buzz.
Here's
what, the hell?
Here's what I had. And that, normally, I eat healthy all the time.
Hey, good, Buzz.
So
all
I
right.
went crazy this weekend and had tacos, hot dogs, ice cream, cotton candy, two kinds of cookies, cashews, peanuts, popcorn, and chocolate chips.
All right.
You ate 2 pounds of cookies?
No, 2 kinds of cookies.
Two kinds of cookies.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I ate like a box of one of the kinds. You're being conspicuously quiet, Rob.
I got not much to bring.
You were by yourself.
I drank a lot of beer.
There you go. That's calories.
I'm thinking maybe about, well, let's call 21 bottles a case. And so that's 24 beers, and if every beer is like two slices of bread, I had like a couple loaves of bread throughout the weekend.
You know what I found out also? You know, whether it's on the cob or in a big vat.
Yeah. I love corn.
Corn is the best.
Indians call it maize.
I love corn.
God, I'm trying to think. I'd love to say, because I'm fat, as we've determined. I'm still only down to 213.
And working hard.
1 pound.
I know, and if Carla's listening, I know I'm going to call her during the break, and I know exactly what's going to happen.
You forgot?
She's going to mention like three or four things that we forgot.
Let me see. Saturday, a little chicken salad on cracker. We had some of that. Then we had popcorn at the movies, and that's it for Saturday. Sunday, we had a little more chicken salad with crackers, and then chicken and squash.
You wild man.
Healthy.
And that was it. Oh. But also just booze nonstop.
Yeah. See, normally that's
like candy.
And we
just drink it right out of the bottle.
Right.
I mean, right out of the big, gigantic bottle.
And normally that's
like Sunny D.
That slows me down. It didn't slow me down this weekend.
Good for you.
There was plenty of that, too.
Beer or booze?
Beer.
You got to know.
I beer and wine. I had about a million beers.
Wow, wine makes you eat good.
You got to know that I'm in a good spot. When it was yesterday afternoon, I was just sitting outside by the Seaman Pond.
Right.
And Janet said, I'm going to go inside and refresh my drink. Can I refresh your drink? Yeah. And I said, you're the greatest. And she got up to go do that. And I got up. And when I got up, it was that thing like I thought, why is my foot falling asleep? And very rare that I say that. Cancel that order.
Oh, really?
Because you'd
overindulged.
Well, I believe so.
I knew it was time.
I believe when you stand up and you think your foot is asleep.
You think perhaps you're having a Curly Howard stroke.
Yes, well,
might be time to slow down.
I wasn't really sure. It was just why can't I feel my foot? Why can't I feel my foot?
Right. Another drink would have brought that feeling back. That's what I found.
Or BCP.
What's that?
Boston cream pie. Yum.
Well, goddamn, every line is ringing now, and I bet they're all calling for you, friend.
You know what the great myth is, though? That somehow chicken is better not fried. It's still the best way to make chicken.
It is.
The tastiest.
Period. Don, Mike, hello.
Best for you.
What did you do to Mike?
Out of here. We just stopped that.
It was Doug.
Hello there. What am I doing? Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, I want to talk to Mike Biscuit O'Mara.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hey, Mike, man, you didn't have any ice cream sundaes? No big malted or something like that?
Yeah, I had a root beer float, and I had an ice cream sandwich, and I had a lot of pie. But I didn't have any ice cream, even though at the buffet, the waiter came over and said, would you like some, when we were like picking up this dessert, he said, would you like some ice cream with that? I mean, it was a buffet restaurant. I haven't been in one of those places in a long time. Damn, finally.
Hey, Don.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Don, the next time you stand up and you don't feel your leg, just start jumping up and down in the air and flapping your arms.
The feeling will
come back.
Flap your arms.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
That's how you get your feeling back.
We figured out what it was that... because she had gone up and made a drink and came. It was a pretty strong.
So your leg fell asleep?
Powerful drink that I
just
was sitting.
Feel it.
I was really reading a book with a leg like underneath my other leg, and I got up, and because I was I had had a very strong drink with not a lot to eat.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize that I had had my leg folded underneath my other leg. And so the mystery was solved.
Good. Mystery solved.
And then we had a root beer float.
Oh, man. seriously, all I'm thinking about right now is candy.
Yeah. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Candy bar.
Sugar begets sugar.
I know.
Yeah.
Your BMs must be incredible.
Really good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I can say. RG, really
can
good.
Can you take that as a compliment from one man to another?
Really, really good.
You must have some outstanding BMs.
Just fine. Just fine and over in a matter of seconds.
You know, BMs that Rosie and Rush would kill for.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's not certainly not the way. You don't, here's a bulletin.
Huh?
You don't feel real good at the end of a weekend like that. As a matter of fact, you don't feel real good when you wake up Monday after a weekend like
food
that.
Food hangover.
Okay.
Carla called me from her office and said, are you puffy? I said, you're goddamn right I'm puffy. I swear to God, I feel like a salt lick.
But remember, I really do. You don't get points for skipping breakfast. That's the sumo wrestler's diet. No breakfast, lunch, a nap, and then get up and have dinner. That's what you did this
That's
weekend.
Where the booze comes in, you know? Right. I'm not going to eat my way through a weekend and give up my late nights at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Of course not, Will.
Not when I'm up there in Gettysburg.
We got a break, Mr. Power.
You know, 47 years ago, I drank a lot of beer.
This is the Don and Mike Show.